today. And notice there in verse number 15. The Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have we all received grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then art thou, Elias?" He saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Father, I pray this morning that we would leave today with a purpose and a focus on accomplishing your will for our life. God, I need your help as I preach. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would move. And Lord, we invite you. We ask you to do that today. And Lord, show us areas that need to be dealt with, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading this morning on Fox News about all the protesting that has been taking place since Tuesday evening. Well, I guess Wednesday probably is when it all started. And I don't know how you voted, but I had Chrissy text Miss Janice, and we knew who side she was on. But I think about you. You turn on the news, boy. They're videoing all these protests that are taking place. And man, everybody's on the street corner, and man, they're all protesting. I read that there was over 3 million people that have signed a petition for those that vote for the Electoral College to turn their votes from Trump to Hillary, and they're trying to get the change the election. And then there is protest that has taken place in major cities. And I find it kind of ironic when the reporters go to the different protesters and they begin to interview them. They ask them, "Why are you protesting?" And I find it amazing how most people are protesting for a certain reason. You know, some would be, "Well, I'm protesting because I don't like Donald Trump." Others are protesting because they don't like, you know, the so-called police brutality. And others are protesting because, you know, they like Starbucks instead of Dunkin' Donuts. I mean, man, you name it. People are out there, and each and every protest, there's a multiplicity of people that are protesting different things. And the reporters are asking, "Why are you protesting?" And it's funny to hear the different responses. Why are you doing what you're doing? And as we come to John chapter number 1 and verse number 15, really down to a good portion of the scripture here, this is an interview by reporters to John the Baptist. And they come to John and they say, "John, why are you doing what you're doing? Hey, we've been following your ministry for quite some time." And we've discussed it before how John's ministry was the talk of the nation. Everybody knew who John was. Everybody knew what was taking place, not in Jerusalem, not at the temple, not in some synagogue, but everybody knew what was taking place in the middle of nowhere in the wilderness right by the Jordan River. Then they heard that this crazy preacher is wearing camel skin, he's wearing a leather girdle, man, he's eating locust and wild honey, and he's preaching a weird message that's not been preached for many years, and that message is repent, make straight the way of the Lord, that message of bring forth therefore fruits worthy meat for repentance. He's preaching a message of repentance. And so the religious leaders say, "We've got to find out what's going on with John. We've got to discover why he's doing what he's doing. What's the purpose of his ministry?" And so they send their little spies out. They send the interview team with the camera in hand and the reporter with the microphone. "Hey, John, why are you doing what you're doing?" And I wonder this morning, friend, why do we do what we do? We talked about it a couple weeks earlier about John's purpose. And why do we do the things that we do? "John, why are you preaching the things you're preaching? Why are you wearing the clothing that you're wearing? Why are you baptizing in the Jordan River? John, what is the purpose of your ministry?" I see here in this passage, I see there was, I see John had a purpose for why he was doing what he was doing. It wasn't because the Cubs won the World Series he was preaching. It wasn't because, by the way, that's the last time the Cubs won the World Series, was back there and right before, yeah, but you know, it wasn't for some political reason. John, why are you doing what you're doing? He said, number one, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because of the purpose of my life. Look in verse number 23. They said, verse number 21, and they asked him, "What then art thou, Elias?" He saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" Hey, John, we want to know. Stop, you know, making us doubt. Stop making us to wonder. John, why are you doing what you do? What is your purpose here? And John said, "I want you to know I'm doing and preaching and behaving the way I'm behaving because that's the purpose of my life." What was the purpose of John's life? It was he must increase and I must decrease. John, why are you doing what you're doing? Because it's all about him. I've come to make straight the way of the Lord. He understood his purpose for life. I mean, about how his birth predicated his focus for life. Remember there, his parents were old. His mom, Elizabeth, was very old. And his dad was really, really, really old. We would be like 40 years old, but really he was a lot older than that, okay? And sorry, I offended like most of you today, but you know, he was super duper old, right? And man, the angel says, "Hey, Angel Gabriel, you're going to have a baby. And not only are you going to have a baby, but this baby's going to be a Nazarite to God from the womb." And boy, John the Baptist was born. From the womb, John had a purpose. Let me say, child of God, you've got a purpose. God has a plan for you. Hey, John's job was to prepare the way of the Lord. Your job, just like John's job, is to point others to the Savior. Our job is to tell others that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Our job is to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Our job is to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. We've got a job to do, and that we preached earlier today. We don't need to be slothful in business, but serve the Lord ought to be our focus. We need to be busy about the task that God has called us to. Hey, John, why are you going full steam ahead? Hey, John, why don't you sit back and take it easy? Why don't you sit down and write some New York Times bestseller book on preaching in the wilderness and your wilderness ministry? Hey, John, why don't you take it easy and relax on Easy Street? Because John said, I've got a purpose, and that purpose is to fulfill the will of God for my life. From a young age, he knew that. From the first time he could talk and walk, John knew that God had a plan for his life. Let me encourage you, dad and mom. Man, make sure, grandma and grandpa, that you're reminding your kids on a daily, regular basis that God has something special for them. God desires to use them. God has a plan for your life. Hey, those young kids, listen, God wants to use you. Hey, God wants you to live for him. God wants you to serve him. Listen, don't waste your life. Don't throw your life away living for the temporal. Hey, live for God. God has a job for you to do. And John, from an early age, heard that from his mom, heard that from his dad. And as they heard that message, what were they preaching? They were preaching Romans 12, 1 and 2 to them, to John. Hey, John, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Hey, John, be not conformed to this world. John, why are you wearing camel clothing? Why do you got a leather girdle about yourself? Why are you eating locust and wild honey? Because John would say, I'm not conformed to the world, but I'm transformed, and I'm doing what my master's called me to do. Why? Because he heard it from a young age. God is a plan for you. By the way, I wonder if John the Baptist's parents, I wonder if they were concerned about the other Nazarites in the Word of God. Remember, we talked about a couple months ago, Wednesday night, preached through the life of Samson. Samson was a Nazarite, and yet Samson threw his life away living for his sensual pleasures, living for the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And maybe there was a mom and dad that on a continuous basis reminded John the Baptist, listen, don't be like your predecessor, Samson. Don't live for the moment. Live for God. Live for eternity. It was a constant reminder each and every day. John, God has something special for you. John, why are you doing the things that you're doing? Because that's the purpose of my existence. My job is to make straight the way of the Lord. By the way, John did not have a long ministry. He did not have a very long lasting ministry. Remember, he came on the scene, and Warren and I, we were last week, we heard about discipleship. And one thing I never realized about disciples was you were truly a teacher
and you truly had disciples if they continued on after your death. And Plato and Aristotle and some of those other others had disciples, some of those other deep thinkers, right? And then when they passed away, then their teaching and their philosophy continued to go on. Hey, when John the Baptist stepped off the scene, remember there were some disciples of John, I think about, wasn't it, there was one preacher in the book of Acts that was baptized under the baptism of John the Baptist. And one of the folks that would travel with Paul, they said, no, you got it wrong. It's not the baptism of John the Baptist, but they explained it further, and it was Jesus Christ. And man, this preacher, man, he went on preaching for God. And John the Baptist, he had disciples, he had followers, but man, as he stepped off the scene, those disciples, they followed Jesus. And he did not have a lasting legacy, just a short amount of time, just a short amount of ministry. And yet God used John the Baptist. Why? Because he understood his purpose. He understood why he was here, what his job was. It was to make straight the way of the Lord. John, the interviewers would ask, what sayest thou thyself in verse 22? Who are you? John, why are you here? Hey, you folks at your workplace, they're asking that same question to you. Though they may not be verbally expressing it. Why do you go to church? Why do you read your Bible? Why do you have that, you know, that mug on your desk with a Bible verse? Why do you talk about the things of God? What's your purpose? John, what's your purpose? My purpose. He understood his purpose. But number two, look in verse number 27. The interviewers continue. The reporters go on. And they say to John in verse 25, he says, why baptizest thou then if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John said in verse 26, I baptize with water. There standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. John, why do you do what you do? Why are you going forward? John, why are you preaching in the wilderness? Because he understood his purpose. But I see number two, John understood his position. John, what's it all about for you? He said, I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe latchet. You see the humility of John the Baptist? You know, so many times in our lives, you know what we think? We think that God got a good deal when we got saved. Man, you know, God got a great singer, we think. God got a great teacher. God got, you know, just a wonderful person when I was born again in the family of God. Let me just say something, friend. There was nothing special about Stephen Schwenke. There's nothing special about you. The Bible says we're all as unclean vessels. We're all, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Man, we were beggars. We were hopeless. We had no hope. We had no purpose. Hey, you may have a big bank account. You may have all these other little trivial things. But man, when you got saved, friend, God reached down and rescued you out of that miry pit of sin. And man, when we get full of ourselves thinking we're somebody, listen, hey, watch out, danger right there. Why? Because man, we're just a bunch of clay. A lump of clay without the breath of God is just clay, is just dust, right? But God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And John realized, hey, why am I doing what I'm doing? He understood his purpose, but he also understood his position. He said, man, he that cometh after me, He's preferred before me. Hey, I'm not even a part of the inner circle. John said, I'm not. Hey, I understand what I'm here for. I understand my position. It was full of humility. Hey, can I ask you this morning? Are you serving the Lord with humility? Do you have that humble and meek and quiet spirit? Humility. Many of us think we're humble, but we walk around saying, "Look how humble I am!" Right? And we used to do that, my brothers and I and sisters. We'd be like, yeah, just so humble. You know, we put that fake pious look. You know, say, I know you're all spiritual. You never act that way. But, you know, you can fake it, right? Fake it till you make it, right? And, man, you can just put the, I'm just so humble. No, all right, we're all full of ourselves. We all have a hidden agenda. We all do things, you know, a lot of times we do things because we realize if we do this, then the other person's indebted to us. And if that's the case, I owe many pies and many cakes and many plates. I don't know anybody. Thank you for just contributing to our event. But you know, I think about that. So many times we do things because we think, well, the backside of it is I get another deal, right? No. John, why are you doing what you're doing? Because he understood his humility. Think about that. He said, I'm not, in verse 27, he says, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose.
You think about that.
His shoe latchet. You know, remember back in the Bible days, they wore sandals. They didn't wear Nike or Adidas or whatever you wear. They wore sandals, right? Those shoe latchets, man, they would keep those sandals on. By the way, they weren't flip-flops. Flip-flops are annoying, all right? Get some real sandals, all right? I grew up in... My kids wear flip-flops. They go to Old Navy when it's a dollar for flip-flops, and those things last one season. My flip-flops, my sandals, man, they last forever because I get the good stuff, right? You don't get cheap ones. And by the way, it's not the ones that go in between your toes. That's not meant for hiking. That's not meant for outdoor activity, all right? That's meant for going to the beach to take them off. And so we're against that, all right? We're for, but, you know, they would get real sandals, and you would have to, you know, clip them in, and, man, they were quite the mechanism. John said, I'm not even worthy to untie a shoe. That's my position. Think about that. Not even worthy to take somebody's shoe off, and we walk around thinking we're somebody. And Jesus said John the Baptist was the chiefest, but he was the greatest Christian ever. Hey, and we walk around thinking we're somebody. Come on, folks. Hey, if I wonder, are you an individual that's full of yourself? Let me remind you that God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Submit yourself. Put yourself under. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Are you willing to humble yourself before the Savior? Paul said this. He said he was the least of all the apostles. Jesus was willing to take that rag there in the upper room, and he's willing to wash the disciples' feet. A job meant for the servants, a job meant for the lowest man on the totem pole. Jesus said, you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm willing to be a humble servant. He came meek and lowly. He came to serve. He came as a servant. I wonder, are you an individual that's so full of yourself? Are you an individual that's willing to humble yourself? Are you willing to change a diaper in the nursery so that way somebody else could be reached for Christ? Are you willing to talk to somebody about their soul? Or are you concerned about, well, what will they think about me? I wonder, is it all about you? John said, hey, I understand my position. I'm not even worthy to unloose his shoe latchet. Let me say, for his service, God looks for a humble servant. But listen, if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, in order for you to go to heaven, you've got to have a broken and a humble spirit. Not me, it's not my pride, but no, I go the way of the cross. I remember hearing a story about an old slave owner. And man, this old slave owner had a bunch of slaves. And by the way, I love Brother Comfort singing about Moe's. My kids forget the message. They like the song about Moe's. But I appreciate that. But there was a story of an old slave owner. Had a bunch of slaves. And he heard through the grapevine that these slaves were meeting Sunday afternoon after all their chores were done. They were meeting first church. So the slave owner was curious, piqued his interest. He said, I'm going to go and I'm going to just go listen to the sermon that takes place. He went and got there early before anybody got there, and he hid behind a big oak tree. Nobody could see him, and all of a sudden all the slaves started to filter in, and they sat on those log benches, and the old black slave preacher got up there and began to preach the word of God. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If you're not willing to go the way of the cross, you're not going to heaven. And man, he preached hellfire and brimstone. You need to be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And man, hammer away, you need to be saved, gave the invitation. And nobody came, closed the service. Everybody left. All the slaves went back to doing their chores. The slave preacher's still standing there, cleaning things up, getting ready to go home. And that slave master peeks out behind the tree, sees everybody gone, and he goes up to that old slave. He says, sir, he said, I heard the message you just preached. He said, I want to go to heaven. How can I go to heaven? The slave looked at that master, and he said, sir, seeing pride written all over this man's face. He said, you see that big old fence over there where they're keeping the hogs in? He said, I do. He said, in order for you to go to heaven, he said, you got to go climb up that fence. He said, you got to jump over that fence and fall face first in that mud and into that mire there in the hog's pen. And there in that mire in the hog's pen, you call out to God, and God will save your soul. Well, the owner didn't want to hear that. He took his fist up and started to threaten him. He said, don't you dare talk to me like that. I'm the owner. I control you. He said, I'm not going to respond to that. He went home. And yet all week long, that message, you must be born again, was convicting his heart, convicting his soul. Next Sunday, he goes back there before anybody's ever there. Man, he sits behind that oak tree again. Hears that message. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everybody leaves. He goes up to that slave preacher. He says, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. What does it take to go to heaven? He said, sir, he said, you see that big old fence over there where the hogs are at? He said, if you want to go to heaven, you got to climb up that fence. You got to jump over that fence. You got to land in that mire and that mud. And you got to call upon God and that hog's pen, and you can go to heaven. Well, again, that owner got mad. He said, don't you talk to me like that. He left angry and went back home, and yet conviction all week long is taking place. That next Sunday morning rolls around, and he's not behind the oak tree, but he's sitting in the front seat in the front pew of that service out in the middle of in the open air. That preacher preaches that message right to him. You must be born again. And he begins to give the invitation. That owner stood up, and he started to make his way over that fence, and he began to put his hand upon that fence, and that slave preacher looked at that owner, and he said, sir, he said, time out. You don't have to climb that fence and jump in that mud pit. He said, but you had to be willing to be humble before God would ever save you. And understand today, dear friend, if you're not willing to be humble, if you're not willing to lay aside your pride and your arrogance and your works and all these different things that you've accomplished, your church membership, I've given money for this thing, I've done this thing. If you're not willing to lay that aside and call upon God and God alone to save you, friend, you'll never enjoy the wonders of heaven. You've got to go the Bible way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You've got to be humble and go to the cross of Christ. But believer, listen, if God's going to use us, if we're going to be used like John was, we've got to have that humility. John, what's it all about? He understood his purpose. Why are you doing what you're doing? He understood his position. But I love there in verse number 36, as they continue to interview him. It says in verse 35 again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. John, why are you doing what you're doing? Number one, he realized his position, his purpose. He understood his position. Number two, especially thirdly, how he maintained his passion. John, why are you doing what you're doing? John, why are you baptizing? John, why will you one day go to jail? John, why will you one day be forsaken by all your disciples that followed Jesus? Hey, John, why will you one day be beheaded by Herod the king? Why are you doing what you're doing? Because of the passion. Because of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why are you doing what you're doing, John? It's all about the Lamb. It's all about the Savior. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. Understand, I love this story, how Jesus came to John in verse 29, and John saw him coming, and he made that statement, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hey, John's baptized, and there the crowds are flocking. Man, there comes Jesus walking toward him. And John says, hey, the reason I'm doing what I'm doing, you just asked me the day before. And let me remind you, this is why the Lamb of God's come to be baptized. The Lamb of God has come to put forth that public ministry. The Lamb of God is here. He's the one I'm following. He's the one I'm serving. He's the one I'm seeking. Hey, it's all about the passion for Christ. Can I ask you tonight, today, do you still love Him like you used to love Him? Do you love Him with that passion that you once had? Do you love Him like He's just on your heart and on your mind? I wonder, do you love Him? Because when we lose our love and we lose our passion, man, the well goes dry. What happens, man? All of a sudden, there's problems. All of a sudden, there's issues. Peter was there on the seashore with Jesus as they walked. And Jesus looked at Peter and said, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Three times, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than your business? Do you love me more than your boat? Do you love me more than anything that you could accomplish? Peter, do you love me more than these? Peter had to be reminded of that fact. I've got to love him. He's got to be my passion. Hey, let me ask you, Church of Ephesus, you're busy. I know your work, your labor, your patience, how you can't bear them which are evil. You've tried them which say they are apostles and are not. You've labored for me. Hey, all these things you're doing. But the problem, Church of Ephesus, is you've left your first love. You left your first love. I wonder, friend, that today, have you forgotten your passion for Christ? Has the honey been taken out of the honeymoon in your walk with the Lord? Hey, if that's the case, if that's what's going on in your life today, then friend, today is the day to get back to that place where you love Jesus Christ more than anything in the whole entire world. John, why are you doing what you're doing? The interviewers would ask, sent from the religious leaders there in Jerusalem, the theologians, those in the synagogues, those that were sitting under the feet of Gamaliel, the teacher. Hey, John, we've heard about your ministry. Man, here's the reporter from CNN or Fox News. Hey, John, why are you doing what you're doing? John said, I'll tell you why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I've got a purpose. That's the whole reason I'm here. It's about the Lamb of God. He said, I'm doing what I'm doing because man, that's my position. I'm just a humble servant. I'm not willing to unloose his shoe latchet. I'm doing what I'm doing because I've got a passion. I love him. Why? Because he's the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I wonder this morning, have you lost your focus? Have you lost your purpose? Have you lost that reason for why you do what you do? If you have, today, let's get back to loving him. Let's get back to serving him. Let's get back to being focused upon Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. The reminder, Lord, is a simple reminder, but Lord, how we need to be reminded so many times of our purpose. Lord, we need to be reminded about our position. We need to be reminded about our passion and how it ought to be hot and fervent for you. I pray that you would use this message. I pray that it'd sink down into our hearts and into our lives. And I pray that it would bring forth fruit that would remain, fruit that would abound. Would you work, I pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say this morning, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven, but preacher, I've lost my purpose. I've lost my passion. I've lost my position. Boy, I think it's all about me. And this morning, God spoke to my heart. He's convicted me. Would you pray for me, preacher? God spoke to my heart. I need to make a decision. If that's you, would you slip your hand up all over the room? Pray for me. Good. Preacher, God spoke to my heart. Good. Amen. Who else? Preacher, pray for me. Need to make a decision. Good. Praise the Lord. Good. Amen. Amen. Number of hands. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I wonder, would there be one that say, preacher, you know, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never been humble, never called out to God. But I realize I need Christ. I need to be born again to the family of God. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm going to heaven, but I want to get that settled today. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? I want to embarrass you. I won't call you out, but I'd like to pray for you, preacher. I need to be saved this morning. Would you pray for me? Here's my hand. Well, Father, would you work in this invitation? I pray. May there be lasting decisions made for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed as Chrissy continues to play that piano, the invitation. God's touched your heart. Would you come now? The altar is open. Let's get alone with God. Would you come? Get that position. Get that passion.